"What a difference compared with a certain other country," he declared, referring to war-torn Spain. "There it is class against class, brother against brother. We have chosen the other route. Rather than to wrench you apart, we have brought you together." Robert Ley, the head of the Nazis' German labor front, proclaimed flatly, "We are the first country in Europe to overcome the class struggle." Whether the rhetoric matched the reality is beside the point. The appeal of such a goal was profound and the intent sincere. A young and ambitious German lawyer who wanted to study abroad was persuaded by his friends to stay home so he wouldn't miss the excitement. The Nazi Party was intending to change the whole concept of labor relations based on the principle of co-determination and shared responsibility between management and workers. "I knew it was utopian, but I believed in it with all my heart. Hitler's promises of a caring but disciplined socialism fell on very receptive ears." Of course, such utopian dreams would have to come at the price of personal liberty, but progressives and fascists alike were glad to pay it. "Individualism," proclaimed Lyman Abbott, the editor of The Outlook, "is the characteristic of simple barbarism, not of Republican civilization." The Wilsonian Crowleyite progressive conception of the individual's role in society would and should strike any fair-minded person of any true liberal sensibility today as at least disturbing and somewhat fascistic. Wilson, Crowley, and the vast bulk of progressives would have no principled objection to the Nazi conception of the Volksgemeinschaft, people's community, or national community, or to the Nazi slogan about placing the common good before the private good. Progressives and fascists alike were explicitly indebted to Darwinism, Hegelianism, and pragmatism to justify their worldviews. Indeed, perhaps the greatest irony is that according to most of the criteria we use to locate people and policies on the ideological spectrum in the American context, social bases, demographics, economic policies, social welfare provisions, Adolf Hitler was indisputably to Wilson's left. This is the elephant in the corner that the American left has never been able to admit, explain, or comprehend. Their inability and or refusal to deal squarely with this fact has distorted our understanding of our politics, our history, and ourselves. Liberals keep saying it can't happen here, with a clever wink or an ironic smile to insinuate that the right is constantly plotting fascist schemes. Meanwhile, hiding in plain sight is this simple fact. It did happen here, and it might very well happen again. To see the threat, however, you must look over your left shoulder, not your right.
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.